So we bring that series of faithful, faith-filled friendships to an end today. And as I said, we can't do that without looking and remembering and at the importance of trust in all the relationships that we have in life. As I was looking at the scripture from Matthew this week, I couldn't help but notice everything that was going on around me, especially some of the things that were being lifted up in the news each and every day. One thing in particular that got my attention was on the Today Show somewhere in the middle of the week. How many people have ever gone online to look at, if you're getting ready to go somewhere on a trip, you go online and you check out these places that have hotels, and you can look at all the hotels in an area, and then they're rated, and there's stars there, and there's different comments that are there by different people, and there's all kinds of pictures and about what it looks like. You get to see what the view from your room is going to be like. You get to see what the dining room is going to be like. You get to see what your room is going to look like and all the different corners of it. Have you ever gone to one of those places and found the room not to look like the one in the picture? Well, that's what the story was all about. They were talking about the incredible amount of time and energy and work that goes into making these pictures look just the way they do. The work with Photoshop and selling it to people and helping people to see what they're going to want to see rather than what's really there. They interviewed this one fella who owns a resort somewhere. He really didn't get into giving his last name nor the name of the resort. It was for obvious reasons, because he was there to kind of confess some of the things that were going on in the resort world here, if you will. And he was talking about how he spent years creating all of these fake ID, fake email addresses, so that he can go to his own resort and write comments, telling what a beautiful place it is, telling what a great time he had there, telling what a wonderful meal he had, saying what great service he got, and how wonderful the management was. And so he could use those same email addresses and write to the competition and talk about what a terrible time he had. Talk about how lousy the meal was. Talk about how terrible the service was. And finally the reporter asked him, he said, well, you know, is this right? He says, well, I suppose it's all okay as long as it's good for business. But at the same time, he felt that people had a right to know that it was going on. But boy, what does it say about the world that we live in? When not only are we not afraid to put out there what's true, not only are we afraid not to downright lie about the things that we're offering to people, but that afterwards we don't even realize it's the wrong thing to do anymore. That as long as it's okay for business, it's okay. What does that do for our ability to trust others? And certainly it's not something that's limited to the resort world, to the travel world. Our news is filled every day with choices that different leaders in government make that betray the trust of the people. We see people coming and going in and out of office all the time because they couldn't handle the responsibility that they'd been given. They'd made choices that they'd just never be able to overcome, the trust that had been broken down. We see that happening with the church around the world. There's not a whole lot of news reporters that want to talk about the church when things are going right. When the church is brightly burning, as the song We Are the Church says. When we're reaching out and caring for people and doing the right thing in the lives of others. Those stories, there's a few of them out there, but they're not a lot of them. But boy, when a leader in the church, whether it be a pastor, whether it be a priest, whether it be a choir director, whether it be a lay person in the church, makes a mistake, when people get betrayed, when money gets taken, when people get hurt, boy, the news is right there. It's right there to put it on the table. We're bombarded every day with images and messages that say we can't trust anything anymore. That everything we've always trusted, everything we've always built our lives on, everything that we thought wouldn't change is being ripped away This is the same world that Jesus was talking to when he gathered them together for the Sermon on the Mount. He gathered thousands of people up on that hillside. And while he told them that they shouldn't be worrying about their everyday lives, like us, they were thinking about how hard it is to trust. They lived in a world where Rome wasn't the government you really wanted to be under. But here they found themselves. Corruption was around and hiding in every corner. People were being hurt around every corner. We certainly know the church wasn't the place to go that you could count on everybody. The people that Jesus was the toughest on, the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders in the temple. He was constantly talking to them about their decisions. He was constantly talking to them about the choices that they were making. He was constantly talking about how that they were going to pay a price for leading people astray and for hurt that they were causing. The same is true of us. God holds each one of us accountable for the decisions that we make. But yet, in the middle of it all, Jesus says, "Do not worry." He says, just take a look around you. And as they sat there on the hillside, the only thing that he could find to point out to them that wasn't corrupt, that wasn't messed up, was the creation they were sitting in the middle of. He says, just take a look at these flowers. Just take a look at these birds first for a minute. These birds of the air. They don't reap. They don't sow. They don't put plants. They don't put seeds in the ground. But yet there's always food enough for them. They don't have a barn. They don't have a storehouse. They don't have a place where they can put things for a rainy day. But yet God feeds them every single day. So let's think about that image of birds for a minute. What are some of the things that we can learn? What are some of the things that we can notice about birds as we journey through life?
They're expensive.
They're expensive. Okay. Absolutely. They're precious because they cost a lot. We sing all kinds of songs that talk about how precious each one of us is in God's sight. They live in the moment. They live for today. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? They don't have that ability to reason like we do. They don't have the free will that we have.
They're hard workers to provide for
themselves. They work hard. They work hard to pay attention to what's already been provided. And they're willing to reach out and to take what's been given to them.
They're unaware of their own beauty.
Unaware of their own beauty. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of an image of humility there, isn't there?
They nurture their family and share a tight space.
They nurture their family and tear and share a tight space. Yes, absolutely. They have a beautiful voice, and every one of them is different. And boy, when you put them all together, what a sound it makes, isn't it? We tie those images, those two images together. What an image we see of the church, of our church family, all around the world. God's bigger than the walls that we worship in. And Jesus moves on. He says, look around. Look at these lilies of the field. Look at these flowers that are surrounding us right now. They don't toil. They don't labor and toil and spin trying to get by in life. But yet Solomon, the one that was known down through the ages for all the beautiful things that he had, he said, not even the splendor of Solomon can touch what God's clothed these flowers with. Think about the flowers in the world around us. What can we learn about flowers? What can we learn from that image that God offers us? Come on, there's got to be a couple flower lovers here. Yeah, they do live in the moment, don't they? The amazing thing about flowers is they have to live in the moment even when they're buried under the snow. Even when it just keeps piling up deeper and deeper and deeper, they're still growing. when the snow melts away, finally, finally, people will get to see how they've been growing.
Don't worry about their color or what they're wearing.
No, they don't worry about their color. They don't worry about their wearing. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't spend so much time worrying about what you're wearing. How many people spend a lot of time thinking about what they're wearing? How many people, when you're going to a meeting, when you're going to an appointment, when you're going to be with a group of people, whatever it might be, whether it be family, friends, work, a place you want to get into for work, really take time and struggle and wrestle. Beat yourself up trying to find just the right outfit. I mean, think of the money and the time and the energy that's spent studying clothes and the color of clothes and talking about how the impact they have on people in the workplace and in different situations. Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. God's bigger than all of that. Great thing about flowers is they don't have that ability to compare themselves to the one next door. So often, rather than living our own life, we're trying to live our life in comparison to the one next door. And I don't know about you, but I find that exhausting some days. And again, like birds, each one's individual. Each one has its own color. Each one has a different purpose. And boy, when you put them all together, what a gardener is, huh? So underneath all of what Jesus is saying, Jesus, when he's telling the people here not to worry, he's teaching them so much more. He wasn't setting some standard that they'd never be able to live up to. He wasn't offering up some poetic group of words that could be handed on down through time to make people feel good. He's saying, no, pay attention. Pay attention that right here in this world that you're living in, the kingdom of God is a very different place. That right here, when the world is filled with all kinds of things that are happening, that are breaking down, tearing apart, and shredding the trust that you have for God and for people in your lives, look around you and pay attention, because God is still here. God is still providing. God is still there worrying and willing to teach us what's really important. I'll leave with you with the story. I think I probably told it here before, but I don't know, it keeps coming to mind this morning, so I thought I'd offer it up again. Story of a man named Fred out in the water, known in his community for his ability to fish. Every day he set out in the boat, and every day he came back with all kinds of fish. He was the kind of fisherman that they talked about around town. When you stopped in at Maplefields, you'd hear his name being lifted up. When you wandered through Shaw's, you'd hear the fishermen talking about him. When you went to church on Sunday morning before the service started, and never during the service, you'd hear him being talked about. Finally, the local game warden wanted to know Fred's secret. And Fred said, well, why don't you come along and I'll show you. So we invited the game warden out into the boat. They traveled out into the waters. Fred set down the anchor, shut off the motor, shut down the anchor, set down the anchor. Didn't reach down first. The game warden waited for him to reach down and first grab right a hold of that fishing pole, but he didn't. Instead, he sat back, got a cigar out of his pocket. He lit it. He opened up his lunchbox. He pulled out a stick of dynamite. He got his cigar ready. The game warden said, whoa, you can't do that. That's not allowed. You can't fish like that. Fred wasn't moved a bit. He touched his cigar to the wick on that dynamite, and he quickly handed it to the game warden. He said, so are you going to fish, or are we going to sit here and talk? That game warden was forced to make a decision. Right there in a moment. In a split second, he had to make a choice. Jesus' words this morning remind us that we're forced to make a choice every day. In the split second of all kinds of different situations, we have to say, am I going to trust here or am I going to worry? Am I going to look at what's falling apart or am I going to look at what God's doing? That decision is just as life-changing as the one the game warden was faced with that day. It makes our lives what they are. It makes this world what it is. So as we continue to journey away from this season as a church, as a faith community, as we continue to journey away from this season of faithful, faith-filled friendships, I pray that we continue to celebrate the friendship that God offers each and every one of us every day. And I pray that we continue to notice the way that God reaches out and provides for us the things that are really important in life through the faithful friendships that fill our life. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for your promise to be with us always. We thank you, Lord, that when it seems like even though things around us are falling apart, there you are in the middle of it all. Teaching us, calling us, challenging us, Lord, to make a choice and enjoy the kingdom of God that you invite us to be a part of each and every day. We thank you for the lessons that we learn in life. We thank you for the opportunities to journey with one another. And we pray that you continue to be at work in our hearts and our lives, revealing those things that keep us from trusting you and from trusting others. We pray that in the middle of a world where trust is being broken down, that you'll help us to find ways to build up trust. We thank you for the foundation of hope and trust that you've already laid. And yes, Lord, as we look around the world, we realize that all the rest of it is sinking sand. So teach us to walk on the road that you've laid before us, to celebrate your presence every day. As we ask all of this and so much more that we could ever put into words, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.